Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Adi Lila, Chapter 3. This is the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance, verse number 49. Suvarna Varna He Mangoho. Varagas Chanda Nagadi Sanya Satkrit Chaman Santo Nista Shanti Parayanaha Subarna Varna He Mango Varagas Chanda Nagadi Sanya Sakrit Chama Santo Nishta Shanti Parayanaha. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. Purport. This is a verse from Mahabharata, Dana Dharma Vishnu Sarasya Nama Strota. In his commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam called the Namanta Sutta, Srila Balabhava Vidyabhushana, commenting upon this verse, asserts that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, according to the evidence of the Upanishads. He explains that Suvarna Varna means a golden complexion. He also quotes the Vedic injunctions Yada Pasyat Pasyate Rukma Varnam Kartaram Isham Purusham Brahmayonim. That's from the Mundaka Upanishads 3.1.3. Rukmavarna Kartaram Isham refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as having a complexion of color of molten gold. Purusham means the Supreme Lord, and Brahmayonim indicates that he is also the Supreme Brahman. This evidence, too, proves that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Another meaning of the description of the Lord as having a golden hue is that Lord Chaitanya's personality is as fascinating as gold is attractive. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana has explained that the words Varanga means exquisitely beautiful. Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, leaving aside his householder life to preach his mission. He has equanimity in different senses. First, he describes the confidential truth of the personality of Godhead. And second, he satisfies everyone by knowledge and attachment to Krishna. He is peaceful because he renounces all topics not related to the service of Krishna. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana has explained that the word nishta indicates his being rigidly fixed in chanting of the holy names of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya subdued all disturbing opponents of devotional service, especially the monists, who are actually averse to the personal features of the Supreme Lord. End of Srila Prabhupada's purport. Translation, once again, in his early... Throughout the scriptures, there are various references to Lord Chaitanya in terms of his characteristics, bodily complexion, his mission, his relationship with the Sankirtan movement. All these are indications that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared as the son of Manusachi in the area of Navadvipa, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not only that, he is the Yuga Avatar. Very few, proportionally that is, accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, or the Supreme Godhead of all Godheads. Many see him as a powerful personality who worshiped the Lord. Others see him as some great saint. In this way, there are various speculations. But when we carefully analyze the statements such as this here, he's appearing as a householder. He has a beautiful bodily complexion. Here it's mentioned, there's a lot of emphasis in this particular sloka on the Lord's transcendental form. His complexion is like molten gold. And Prabhupada says, his complexion is attractive as gold is attractive. Fascinating, Prabhupada used. As fascinating as gold is attractive. Of course, we cannot imagine transcendental color. It's nothing that we see in this material world. Because we use various analogies to describe the nature of the beauty of the transcendence. But any beauty or any analogy we use is simply an emanation from the source and really cannot equal in description nor in quality the source. When we say God is beautiful, or God is beautiful, everything else is really not beautiful. We describe beauty in a very loose term, but real beauty is God. Real goodness is God. Real perfection in all aspects of transcendental qualities are the absolute nature. They're not described in a relative way, although we describe them in a relative way. We say this is good, this is beautiful, this is powerful, this is intelligent. But all these are really misdefinitions that are applied to the Krishna's energy. But the source is actually the description or the indication of these words. Real beauty is God. Anything below that is nothing. It's not really beautiful. We can't say God is beyond beauty because it doesn't make sense. He is beauty. And here, one of the aspects of his beautiful character is his beautiful bodily effulgence. And where is that effulgence? Lord Chaitanya is called Gauranga. Gauranga! 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 That Gauranga means golden limbed. And Gaurangi is Radharani. She is the quality of gold which he has adopted that color for his appearance. Krishna said to Radharani, I'm coming to the material world to experience your love for me in this form as a combination of myself and you. Radharani said, you won't be able to bear it. Your body will be destroyed simply by the ecstasy of my love. So many words she expressed. She was in transcendental anxiety. She said, but I will give you my color. and that will protect you. So Lord Chaitanya adopted the color Srimati Radharani. It says that he has three internal moods of Lord Chaitanya, which are all attributed to his relationship with Srimati Radharani. That is, Lord Chaitanya wanted to experience her love for him. That is really the meaning of Lord Chaitanya's appearance in this world. We hear that there are external reasons for the Lord's appearance. There are internal reasons. But the internal reasons are actually the primary reasons. And the external reasons are what we say also significant. But they're considered to be what we say extensions of the internal reason. What are the external reasons? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmaham srijamyaham pravitranayam sadunam vinasanaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. I come in every yuga, even in Kali Yuga. So in order to fulfill that promise in Bhagavad Gita, he appears in every yuga. But in this Kali Yuga, he's appearing as Chana. Chana means hidden. He's hidden. He's not appearing as the Supreme Personality of God. He's appearing as the devotee of himself. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained, not explained, but actually glorified, in glorifying the qualities of Krishna's incarnation, the prayers of the residents of Jambudvip in this fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the Lord is also called Triyuga. That means he comes as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in three yugas. But in Kali Yuga, he comes not as the Lord, but he comes as a devotee of himself. This is really quite amazing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all incarnations, the source of everything, becomes his own pure devotee. Why? To experience the happiness that Radharani experienced in her love for him, to understand her position as the subject, and to experience what are his qualities that are so attractive to Srimati Radharani. Lord Sri Krishna himself could not understand Radharani's love. There's two things no one in existence will ever understand, ever. And that is Radharani's love for Krishna and Krishna's qualities. These things are impossible, cannot be spoken about, written about, and fully understood by anyone. Even Krishna himself, he was so, what we say, eager to understand what is the nature of Radharani's love. So he actually became her. And in becoming her, he took on her color. It is explained, Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam. He takes on the transcendental luster of Srimati Radharani and he performs his pastime of loving himself in the mood of the subject. Loving himself. This is amazing. Can we figure this out? Can we analyze it, intellectualize it, hypothesize it, look at it from whatever angle we can possibly conceive of? It's impossible. But the Lord is actually experiencing this love in this mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how is he experiencing this? Through the Harinam Sankirtan movement. Congregational glorification of the Lord. Krishna Varna Svaka Krishna Gvana Tusa Krishna Sangopanga Saparsadam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayai Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. This transcendental practice of glorifying the Lord in Sankirtan is the epitome or the height of spiritual practice, chanting and dancing. Look at it from an external point of view, or look at it without complete understanding. It looks like a lot of fun. Yes, right? Or even from a lesser perspective, it looks like somebody's having a party, right? Dancing, singing, sometimes acting quite irregular in such activities as singing and dancing. But actually, this expression, or this external expression, is actually the means to show the highest form of devotion. This Sankirtan. Because what is this Sankirtan movement? It is actually initiated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Goloka Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. It's coming from Golok. It is not anything product of this material world. It is explained that the gopis dancing with Krishna in the rasa dance, in their ecstasy of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Chaitanya dancing with his associates and singing and glorifying Sri Krishna in this mood, is none different. There's no difference. So Lord Chaitanya is actually bringing this highest of all spiritual practices down to this mundane material platform and transforming this whole material world through this process of Harinam Sankirtan. The Sankirtan is so wonderful. And what is it? It is actually Lord Chaitanya in the mood of Srimati Radharani to show her love for Krishna, chanting and dancing. Lord Nityananda, when he was asked by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Navadvip to spread the Sankirtan movement, he left with his disciples and followers, his associates. And finally, after reaching the house of Raghava Pandit, they began Sankirtan. And they chanted and danced for 3 full months. Not eating, not sleeping, not drinking any water, not even concerned that they weren't even aware that they had a body. They were so much absorbed in the chanting and dancing of the holy names of the Lord, they completely lost all external consciousness of everything. Of course, this is Lord Nityananda, but he was showing what is the power and what is the deep aspect of devotion of this Harinam Sankirtan movement. This is the greatest gift of the world. And Lord Chaitanya is giving that so mercifully, so freely. But yet Prabhupada said, "You're so fallen, you can't take it up." Prabhupada goes, saying, "In such a yuga, great austerities, meditation, pranayam, performing austerities, penances, absorbing oneself in the transcendental form of the Lord within the mind, and with great concentration, restricting all of one's bodily activities." And this was the Yuga Dharma. But who could perform anything even nearer as that? The Lord Chaitanya has made the process so so simple, so easy. But then Prabhupada was chastising. "But still, you can't do it." Of course, this doesn't apply to Radha Gopinath, as we just saw a wonderful kirtan. But generally, you know, people cannot understand or even take it up with full devotion. Lord Chaitanya has made it so easy. This is the supreme mercy of all mercy. Yamaraj is saying to his followers, the Yamadutas, when the Yamadutas came, after having been frustrated in their attempt to take the soul of Ajamil to the abode of Yamaraj, they reported to Yamaraj, saying, "We have been defeated. We thought you were the supreme of all supremes. Yet we see there is someone else. Please explain it to us." Finally, he explained that actually, and I am simply the servant of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And his devotees, actually, they are, you know, I cannot touch them. And one who chants the holy names of the Lord, you know, they are beyond my jurisdiction. They are free from my punishment. And therefore, you should not even approach them. Don't even consider approaching them. And then he went on to describe the glories of devotional service. And he explains that devotional service is the highest aspect of all aspects within society. That those who take up devotional service, and devotional service really means pure devotional service. Pure devotional service. What makes something valuable? Something is valuable not because it's rare. Sometimes we say, oh, it's a rare gem, therefore it's valuable. But there are so many things that are rare that are not valuable, right? There's certain rare diseases. You don't consider them quite valuable. You don't seek out trying to get some kind of elephantitis or what else? Beriberi or whatever else. You know, there's always some new disease. There are so many other rare things too. But what is valuable is purity. Pure water, right? People want water, they want pure water. They want food, they want pure food. They want air, they want pure air. They want a relationship, they want purity in that relationship. Purity is valuable. Purity was makes something valuable. So pure devotional service is actually what makes devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya is teaching that this is the goal. And it can be, what we say, practice by seriously absorbing ourselves in this Harinam Sankirtan movement. Chanting and dancing and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this wonderful mood. And this is Lord Chaitanya's mercy to the fallen conditioned souls of this world. And he's so eager to give this mercy to everyone that he's petitioning those who have some understanding and have taken it up to please assist him in this endeavor to give this mercy to everyone. Because compassion actually, or concern for other living entities, is the heart of devotion. Compassion is devotional's heart. When you say that the body has various organs, but we say that the most important organ, which keeps everything going, is the heart. The heart remains the functioning system that gives, what we say, blood, energy, and the soul also sits within the heart, to all parts of the body. When the heart's gone, everything's finished. So in the same way, compassion is the heart of devotion. So Lord Chaitanya, he is Mano Vandanaya Nama Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaura Triste Namaha Mano Maha Vandanaya. He is the most magnanimous of all incarnations of Krishna, because he's giving this so freely. But he's not satisfied until everyone takes it up. So it's the duty, responsibility of those who have some understanding to assist Lord Chaitanya in his transcendental anxiety of distributing this mercy to the fallen conditioned souls. He says, "I am simply one gardener. I have this garden. And this garden is full of so many fruits and flowers and so many wonderful foodstuffs. And this garden is meant to be distributed to everyone. It's a storehouse. It's full. And I want to take this storehouse and distribute it. But how can I? What can I do? I am only one person. Lord Chaitanya is playing the role of the humble devotee. I am only one person, therefore please help me to distribute this mercy to all the conditioned souls of this world. So to assist Lord Chaitanya in distributing this mercy is actually, what we say, the perfection of one's devotional service. Take it up and give it to others. Lord Chaitanya personally came to this material world simply to give this. And, of course, to experience this deep inner bhav of Srimati Radharani. So by his encouragement, by his mercy, we take up this Sankirtan movement with all, what we say, enthusiasm. It also says here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he speaks only about, when we say, knowledge of Krishna, topics of Krishna. He becomes peaceful. Why? Because he doesn't give any other topic. This is a very important philosophical principle. The mind becomes disturbed when we speak about things that are related to fruitive activities or material sense gratification. By carefully focusing one's consciousness on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and speaking about those glories to others, one becomes peaceful. Sometimes the non-devotees, but the other forms of spiritualists, they say peace means silence. But going to sleep is another form of silence. But it's not exactly peace. I mean, materialists who are living a frustrated existence consider that this is the highest form of, what we say, accepting peace within in one's life, is by not acting at all, immersing oneself in the ignorance of non-consciousness. But this is not peace. Here, one becomes peaceful simply by glorifying. Why? Because on the spiritual platform, one becomes peaceful when they come in contact with the source of all peace, Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. And pure peace is coming from the transcendental realm. So when one glorifies the Lord, one actually becomes peaceful. One speaks about the Lord, one actually becomes peaceful. One hears about the Lord, one develops that quality of peacefulness. It soothes the mind and heart. The tongue likes to talk. The tongue likes to taste various foodstuffs. And it is explained that the tongue is the most difficult and voracious to control. To control the tongue is actually the beginning of spiritual life. What is that? Atashi Krishna Namari Nabhavedrayam Seva Vukihi Jivado Swayameva Sparatyada Jiva. By glorifying the name, by using the tongue, actually one starts to purify that practice of chanting or speaking. By speaking about topics related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we speak nonsense or we speak negatively, we drain our energy, we destroy our spiritual credits, they become lost simply by speaking uselessly, offensively, or uselessly. So one should carefully control the mind and senses by using it to glorify the Lord and speaking about topics related to devotional service. Lord Chaitanya, after he received initiation from Ishwarapuri, before he was Nimai Pandit, we saw the quite well done spontaneous play. Actually, the devotees played the parts quite well for spontaneity. I was quite amazed. Usually spontaneity means you have to really be ready. And they were quite ready. Nimai Pandit was, as is described, he was a scholar. But he also had a type of arrogance attached to his scholarship. And he would defeat practically everyone. Of course, with Keshava Kashmiri, he put aside that arrogance because he knew it wouldn't work in defeating this rascal. Because arrogance against arrogance doesn't work. He became humble, gave Keshava Kashmiri all facilities, but he showed by his intelligence and by his humility how he carefully corrected him through this process. But before he became initiated by Ishwara Puri, he was, speaking about all aspects of grammar. But when he came back, he also still was speaking about grammar, but he was relating everything to Krishna. All verbs, all nouns, all predicates, all aspects of Vyakaran and Nayak, everything that he was teaching, he related to Krishna. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that, actually. Every word is a glorification of the Lord, if we can see it that way. Every word is meant to glorify the Lord, and actually is a glorification of the Lord, because speech actually is the facility to glorify the Lord. When it's used otherwise, it's a perverted reflection, or what we say, a perversion of the principles of communication. Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleaning the Gaudiya temple, he was cleaning with his cloth, and they were bringing water to Lord Chaitanya, and they were bringing buckets from the Ganges. And if there was any communication between any of them, they all said, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And every time someone said Krishna, it was an indication to do something. They were like communicating simply by using the word Krishna. They weren't saying anything else. But everyone knew what everyone wanted simply by saying the word Krishna, the name Krishna. The other day I had a little realization. It's not really a profound realization. It's quite ordinary. I was thinking, what do I have to do? What are some of the services I have to do now? And I was trying to think. Then I thought, well, maybe if I just chant, and then Krishna will remind me. So I stopped thinking about what I had to do, and I start chanting. And as soon as I would start chanting, the thoughts came. Bloody ball. Yeah. I was thinking, wow, this is a wonderful process. You don't have to think so much. You just chant or glorify the Lord. And Krishna somehow or other works in such a way as to make everything else work. Now, I'm not advocating that everybody completely stop everything and simply chant Hare. Yeah, of course. Maybe I am advocating that. But then what will happen to the GBC meetings? There will be no more GBC meetings. Then what we will do? Hare Krishna. And so this quality of, what we say, glorification, Lord Chaitanya, he was connecting everything to Krishna. So he becomes peaceful simply by glorifying the Lord. So, Ajanu tu lambitu bujo kamakana dakso sankirtanai papitaro kamalaya dakso vishvambaro dvijabaro yugadharma palo vande jagat priyokaro karuna avataro. In this verse, spoken by Vrindavan Das Thakur, which is the first verse in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, he describes many of the wonderful characteristics and qualities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His bodily features, his elongated eyes, which are almost coming to his ears, his long limbs, arms that reach down to his knees, his beautiful golden complexion, he's come as the perfect Brahman. He comes in this age to give the perfect form of devotional service, chanting his own names, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So in this age, we are fortunate. And Lord Chaitanya only comes once in every 1,000 yuga cycles. Krishna also comes at the end of Dwapara Yuga. Lord Chaitanya also comes only once in every 1,000 yuga cycles. So how fortunate those of us who are here have the experience to get his mercy and to go back home, back to Godhead. That is actually the goal, is to take up this Sankirtan movement, purify our consciousness, and go back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. This material world is simply an extension of the living entity's desires to remain separate from the Lord. This whole complicated arrangement of the material energy to facilitate activities in this world is one grand illusion. It's all it is. It's one unnecessary and, what we say, strenuous effort to somehow or other remain separate and try to become happy in this place. I just came from Mayapur yesterday, and I was sitting in the airport, and I was just watching people running around, doing this, going here, so much anxiety, trying to get on lines and planes, this, that. I was thinking, God, this is all useless. Oh, just so much energy, time, effort, money, so many things, so many people, just to facilitate getting from one place to another. Of course, maybe we say it's necessary, but what people have to go through. And if you try to remind, just relax, chant Hare Krishna, it's not practical. Oh, spiritual activities are not practical when you're trying to become successful in the material energy. But what is the success in material energy? There's just no success. Everyone is defeated. So ultimately, this whole material world is simply meant for the defeat of the living entity's attempt to become separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And finally, when this living entity wakes up to that reality, then one can seriously take up one's actual golden life, pure devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Taking shelter of these two most merciful of all incarnations of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda. Vrajendra Nandana Ye, Sachi Suto Hoilo Se, Balaram Hoilo Nitai. These two same lords, Krishna and Balaram and Vrindavan, performed their pastimes as cowherd boys, have come again in these two transcendental forms as Gaur Nitai, and they have made the process of purification so simple, so easy, so sweet, so wonderful. Harinam Sankirtan. When Srila Prabhupada was in Atlanta, Georgia, in America in 1975, he spoke. Actually, it was practically the same time of year. It was February 28th, 1975. He came to Atlanta Temple. He sat down. The temple was packed. He began singing Parama Karuna Bahudui Jani Nitai Gaura Chanda Sabayavatar Sado Siromani Kevalayananda Kanda. Prabhupada only spoke of a few of the first words of this beautiful song. He turned, he saw the beautiful forms of Gaur Nittai, which are the center of the altar in Atlanta Temple. Prabhupada became overwhelmed with emotion, and he said, "They are so kind, they are so merciful. Please take shelter." And Prabhupada actually started to show great emotion, so much so that he could not continue to speak. He said, "Just have kirtan." Prabhupada, in his pure love for Krishna, was showing or teaching to us by his realization how merciful these two lords are. We cannot understand. Prabhupada would have said in another time that if you have a big brain, you have a lot of intelligence, you have a lot of facilities, you're successful, then apply all these good qualities that you may have to understand just how kind and merciful these two brothers are. He says, you will fail. You can't even fail. The stories are there. The pastimes are there. Jagai and Madai. But that is one indication of their mercy. What is their mercy? That even today, we are seeing their mercy being spread throughout the world. So many living entities who have no qualifications, materially, even material qualifications, spiritual qualifications, somehow or other are being brought by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to take up this process of chanting and dancing. They are so kind, so merciful. So tomorrow we are celebrating the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're all very fortunate to be here, to have the wonderful association of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Of course, many other great devotees will be coming also. His Holiness Kavi Chandra Swami will be coming. His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj will also be coming. And I'm sure many other important devotees, great souls, will also be coming. So we'll have a wonderful opportunity to chant and dance and glorification of this Harinam Sankirtan movement, and to hear about the wonderful glories and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We simply get immersed in these subject matters. We lose a taste for this material world. Sometimes people ask me, Maharaj, how do I know when I'm making advancement in spiritual life? It's an easy question to answer. When you're losing your attraction for the material energy, when you're losing your taste for those things that you were doing and that at one time felt so important and so, what we say, sources of your pleasure in life, when you're actually not at all interested in these things anymore, or gradually losing that attraction, then you're making advancement. And at the same time, taking up this process of devotional service to the Lord. Satatam kirtayam tuman, to glorify the Lord, to hear about the Lord's pastimes, to associate with devotees who are doing the same thing, to take wonderful Krishna prasadam, to hear the philosophical principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, to engage in practical devotional service. All these things simply are forms of great mercy, and they actually give us complete happiness and satisfaction. But what makes it all? How does this all become when we become enthusiastic? We have to have that enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, there's no life. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, enthusiasm is the life of a devotee. Enthusiast. Eagerness, strong desire for these activities. We see the materialists, they have strong desires to make money. Sometimes they're on Raganuga. Yeah. platform of spontaneous absorption in the mundane. Sometimes you look and see how enthusiastic the materialistic are. But enthusiasm in the wrong direction means going to hell faster. That's all. You can go to hell slow or you can go to hell fast. But if you take that same enthusiasm and direct it towards the principle of perfection, and then the path to devotional service becomes what we say. Full of opportunities given by Krishna and his pure devotees to make progress. When you have strong desire and you apply that desire to devotional service, one thing you will see, and this is an interesting point, is that Krishna makes so many arrangements to bring about inconceivable opportunities for its spiritual advancement. It's all based on our enthusiasm, our desire. So how do we increase that desire? Associate with devotees who are enthusiastic. Hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Take up this process to whatever level we are, and then gradually try to increase more and more. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. He's here, and he's appearing in the form of his mercy in this Harinam Sankirtan movement. Pancha tattva makam krishnan bhakta srupa srupakam bhakta avatar bhakta akyam namami bhakti shaktikam. Not only does he come, but he comes with all his associates, incarnations, energies, pure devotees, simply to bring about a purification of the hearts of all living entities. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadaradhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Nam Sankirtan Ke Jai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ke Srila Prabhupada Ke Nithai Gopal Vrinda. Hare Krishna. Keep doing that. Don't stop. Thank you very much. Are we supposed to take questions or are we supposed to end now? Is there any managers here? What should I do? Questions or ending? Questions? Mahaprabhu Prabhu has a question. That's one aspect of it. Of course, if you're losing a taste for these things that, but simultaneously gaining a taste for the spiritual activities.
And then, yes, but how, then why all these words, over-endeavor, these are all artificial then. Forget endeavor or over-endeavor. Just only one-sided one should get involved. Why we should not make over-endeavor? What is all meaning of that then?
What do you mean by over-endeavor?
Sometimes we use the word, or people make, you should not make over endeavor in several things. You should balance your life.
Yeah, but balance your life, but rebalance your heart. We don't put our heart in our success in all these material things. This is not, these things are performed as a necessity. We have to take care of family members. We may have to perform occupation. And we should do it also as a service. But our real, when we say attraction, or what awakens our heart, is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, serving the devotees, preaching the glories of the Lord to the conditioned souls. These other things, we may also say, are spiritual in that a devotee, whatever he does, actually, it can be considered in one sense related to the ultimate principle of his goal in life. If his goal is to become, when we say, a lover of Krishna, develop pure devotional service, that's there. But I was using the example in general that how do we know when we're developing how we know we're making progress in Krishna consciousness? When we first begin, we still think that material activities have some value in bringing happiness and success in life. But now as we progress, we may not give up those activities, we purify those activities. But at the same time, these activities no longer are the source of our happiness. What is the source of our happiness? What is the source of our developing our relation to hear and chant the glories of the Lord? Krishna Katha, associating with the devotees, taking Krishna Prasadam. Five potent forms of devotional service, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, chanting the holy name, associating with the Lord. Devotees to living, going to holy places, living in holy places. These are the powerful. We're developing more and more desire for these things. Still, we do our duties, our responsibilities. We don't neglect them.
Hi, Bon. We may do our duty, but the conclusion of all the duty and conclusion of all the sastras, that is all miserable.
That's all.
This material world, whatever we do, dukhalaya shashvatam. So what is the value of the duty then?
Are you ready for sannyas? You sound like it. You're giving us your personal testimony. I think you're an indication of what I was speaking about. An example of that, you know, we just, after a while, we feel attracted more and more to the, what we say, the essence of spiritual activities. It's natural. I mean, this is a both philosophical and a practical thing. So the practical part, I can't talk about. But I can try to talk about the physical part. The practical part is, and that's between you and the spiritual master. But you're right. You're right. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It's not like when we're leaving the world, we're thinking, you know, well, did I clean the office today? We don't worry about all these other things anymore. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, in Jaiva Dharma, it is mentioned that if your intelligence is under the modes of material nature, then you must follow Vaidhi Bhakti. What does that mean, Maharaj?
If your intelligence is under the modes of material energy, then you must follow the practice of devotional service by Vaidhi Bhakti. Yeah, because Raganuga Bhakti, which is... what we say, there's two aspects to sadhana. Or sadhana bhakti is divided into Vaidhi and Raganuga. So in order to get to transcendence, one has to practice, you know, carefully the devotional principles as given in the shastras. By practicing and by purifying our heart, spontaneous devotional service becomes awakened. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What is it? Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. By full engagement of devotional servant, one transcends the modes of material energy and comes to the level of Brahman, or the spiritual platform. So we can't start off by trying to be spontaneous. As long as we still are, what we say, affected by the material energy. So we practice the principles very carefully. Spontaneity is not something you evaluate simply by, you know, some philosophical. Spontaneity naturally arises as purification arises. So we can't be spontaneous just because we want to be spontaneous. We have to practice the processes given by the spiritual master. Therefore, carefully following the rules and the regulations, one becomes purified. Raga dvesha vimukta istu, visayan indriya istiran, atma visaya viheiratman, prasadam adigaichchiti. These rules and regulations, Krishna says, are principles of freedom. When one follows these spiritual principles, one becomes free from what? Attachment and aversion, which are the principles of the material energy. We're attached to something, we're averse to something. These are indications that one is still under the modes of material energy. Spontaneity arrives when through careful following the principles given in Vaidhi Bhakti. Okay. Any other questions? Yes. You have a microphone.
Maharaj, in Bhagavad Gita, in third chapter, Prabhupada, in purport, one of the purports, he writes that even if a very exalted Vaishnavas, devotees, because of these mods, they have particular nature to serve the Lord in devotional service. They have particular their nature even in devotional service, rendering service to the Lord. But we know that as we advance, one advances, he transcends the modes. So how to understand, like, when he quits this material body, then he's transcending, or he's in this same body and he transcends these modes? But there, he says that in serving the Lord, they have their particular nature, even advanced devotees, different natures.
You're talking about... There's two aspects to nature. There's the material aspects to our nature, which are also different, and then there's the spiritual aspects to our nature, which are also different. We have our, you know, relationship with Krishna. We have our different moods of bhakti. And there's also different aspects of our conditioned nature also. So conditioned nature is diverse also, as spiritual nature is also there. So which nature are you speaking of?
So because of influence of mods, that's what, like, it says that in, because of mods, they have their particular nature in advanced ritualist in serving the Lord.
Well, yeah, therefore the spiritual master engages the disciple according to his nature and how best he can make progress in devotional service. That's the one of the most important principles of guru-disciple relationship. The spiritual master sees how best that this person can be elevated by engaging him with discrimination according to his nature.
So that nature is not, doesn't come. Initially it may be under...
Some of your spiritual nature may be indicated through your material nature, but we don't use that. Basically, your spiritual nature will start to manifest after some time. It's explained that there's different stages of devotional service. As we become free from anarthas, we become steadied and we develop our attraction from Krishna. Then our spiritual qualities start to manifest. They're there within the soul. And as the soul becomes, what we say, free from the bodily conception of life, they also, then one actually develops a spiritual nature. Their material nature is no longer there. Prabhupada used the example, if you put an iron rod in the fire, then by the contact with the fire, the iron rod is becoming what we say like fire. It's losing its metallic qualities. So when a devotee engages in devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, his material nature is being, what we say, gradually replaced with his spiritual nature. It's coming out. So his body, actually, everything becomes of the same spiritual quality. There's no difference. But in the beginning, you know, the spiritual master is engaging one according to their material nature. How best that this person can be engaged in devotional service. Seeing what are their propensities, what are their qualities, what are their natures. I mean, just like, I mean, for the sake of developing humility, sometimes a person may be put into a situation. But just I remember in New Vrindavan, when I first joined back in 1973, there was one devotee there. His name was Bhakta Richard. Now, Richard later became Sataputta, the famous the devotee who actually, he had a PhD in so many physics and scientific understandings. But what he was doing when he first got to New Vrindavan, he was digging holes in the ground and putting posts there for making fences for cows, you know. So, of course, so. But then after a while, everyone started to realize that this person had great propensities in this other area and they could use these propensities, you know, to serve the Lord. That's also, those propensities also are material. There's also, you know, having PhD, that's another material aspect. But still, you know, gradually when he engages how best he can use his material qualities in devotional service, then gradually he becomes purified, and then his spiritual qualities start to develop. That's usually up to the spiritual master to see how best the devotee can be engaged nicely.
In nature, here we see in material world, like people, different people have different nature because of different mixing of proportions of these modes.
Yeah.
But when the spiritual nature, when you talk about, like, so many varieties are there, like, spiritual nature, like, after a certain time, like you told, they start manifesting their different spiritual nature. So that variety comes, what is like, here we see that is mixing of modes, but there it's, there they get varieties, like, when they transcend these modes, what is that? Is that there are different desires to serve the Lord in a particular way, or what? What is the source of those varieties?
Well, what happens is they actually become attracted to Krishna. And as they develop attraction to Krishna, they develop their love for Krishna. And then they are serving. I'm trying to understand the nature of your point you're trying to understand. You're trying to understand what happens when a person becomes purified?
The varieties in spiritual, in serving the Lord, they have varieties also. The spiritual nature, just like in material. So what is the source?
Yeah, there are cowherd boys, there are gopis, there are parents of Krishna, like that. But don't worry about these things. You're trying to analyze who you are? Prabhupada said that when you're ready, the spiritual master will come and tell you. He'll tell you, you know. Just engage in your devotional service according to the directions of the spiritual master and his representatives. You know, in 1973, I think it was, you know, there was a whole group of devotees in ISKCON that said they were gopis. Yeah, and they began a club. It was called the Gopi Bhava Club. And they were dressing up like gopis and, yeah, really, Prabhupada disciples. And they were, I don't know what they were doing, but one was dressed up as a peacock. Yeah, and Prabhupada heard this. Stop it immediately. This is all nonsense. Yeah. When the spiritual master When you're ready, the spiritual master will tell you. You don't have to act accordingly like this. Even if one is very advanced and their internal swarupa is starting to develop, they keep that secret. They don't make a display of that. It's not an external thing. It stays within the heart. When you expose that to others, you actually lose it. You lose it. It simply develops internally as your love for Krishna develops. But then again, you may still be washing dishes or cleaning the temple or doing something else. But internally, your heart is becoming purified. So we don't worry about all these things, you know. Anyway, it's a source of false ego, too. If you think, well, I'm a cowherd boy, and therefore, why is he asking me to, you know, drive a truck? You know, I should be herding cows. It's the wrong kind of transportation. You understand? Just don't worry about it. Just chant Hare Krishna and follow the process and you'll get there. Yes, Mataji. Very nice analogy. It's still a mango. Yeah. Mm. If we stay on the tree, we'll grow. We fall off the tree, then we don't grow. Yeah, that's the analogy that's used in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada uses that analogy. What's the difference between a green mango and a ripe mango? Still both a mango, but still the potential of the mango cannot be experienced, or the quality of the mango cannot be experienced in its green state. Simply stay on the tree. This tree of Lord Chaitanya's, he is the root of the tree of devotional service. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, way in the back. Okay. Do we have a microphone? It may take about 10 minutes for the mic to get there. Huh?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I like to know about the devotee have the faith in the Krishna fully and same time also in the spiritual master. I meet one devotee here from Bombay. I speak about my spiritual master and she tell me, don't faith in your spiritual master. You can faith in only Krishna. What about you can say about that?
I have to be honest. I missed some of the question. Can someone repeat that question for me? Did anyone hear it clearly?
Actually, the question was that somebody told him that he shouldn't have faith in the spiritual master, but only in Krishna. And so what you can say about that?
We should only have faith in Krishna, not in the spiritual master. Yeah, Krishna says, Jai Sisi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai, Gornitai Ki Jai, Gopalnachi Ki Jai. Ah. Krishna says, this is a statement in the Adi Purana, he who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but he who says he's a devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee. So that's one statement from the Puranas, that if we want to actually get connected to Krishna, we have to get connected to Krishna directly. Shakshad is direct. The spiritual master is direct connection to Krishna. We can't see Krishna. Just like when the eyes have cataracts or have, what we say, weakness of vision, glasses are used to enhance the object so it could be seen. So the object is still there and the eyes are there, but there's a defect. So the glasses make everything clear. So same way, the spiritual master makes Krishna's words clear. The spiritual master not only makes Krishna's words clear, he explains them in such a way that you can apply them in your life in a day-to-day way. So we can't approach Krishna directly. It's not possible. Krishna he's a hoksuja. He's a chuta. He's beyond the range. He's beyond the range of our senses. Anyone else? Yes. The mic is on its way.
Maharaj, Prabhupada says that chanting is very easy, congregation chanting as such, and it's very pleasurable. And also at the same time, advancement of one in Krishna consciousness is tested by how much one have attraction to chanting. But if we see that for congregation chanting, it's like fun, as you said. One just get involved and one likes it. So is that sign that one is advanced in spiritual life? At the same time, we see that for personal chanting, when chanting on beads, it's not so. So how to understand, Maharaj, this?
Kirtan is fun, but chanting japa is an austerity. It's written that we have to do both. That's the instructions of the spiritual master. The heart of practicing bhakti is also understood through guru's instruction. Therefore, the spiritual master says, chant six. Prabhupada said, my most important instruction to my devotees is that every day they chant 16 rounds on beads without fail. Most important instruction. By chanting on beads, and this is japa, this is meditation, it helps to control the mind and senses and focus our consciousness on Krishna in the form of his name. But then the other aspect that is, we do Harinam Sankirtan. So we need to do both. Both support each other. If you just do kirtan and you don't do japa, you won't get the mercy of the spiritual master. You want that mercy. Mercy comes by following the instructions. You may just do kirtan, but no japa. And after a while, actually, kirtan may also be difficult, because what makes everything successful in spiritual life? Yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagat. By pleasing the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of the Lord. So therefore, Krishna cannot give his full mercy, or is what we say, the mercy that we're looking for, if we're not following carefully the instructions of the spiritual master. And this instruction of chanting japa is one of the most important of all instructions. It's fundamental. It's not what we say an extension of a fundamental. Haridas Thakur, he chanted 300,000 names of God, 100,000 softly, 100,000 silently, 100,000 loudly. All of Lord Chaitanya's disciples, followers, chanted japa, they chanted kirtan, they did both. Not just kirtan. Prabhupada said the process is simple, but not easy. If I stand corrected if I say the process is... We use the word easy, I use it too lightly. Prabhupada said the process of devotional service is simple. It's simple. Chant. Take prasadam. Dance. Associate with nice people. Simple. But to do that regularly, with determination, with enthusiasm, that's where it's not easy. Every day. Every day. Year after year after year after year after year. There's where the difficulties come in. The steadiness in the process remains steady. Because the mind, you know, the mind always is looking for something new. The nature of the mind, right? Always wants something different. Do something different. Do something new. Change, right? Change, change, change. But to stick to the simple devotional process year after year, coming every day, sitting down, hour and a half, sitting with devotees, chanting japa. We did that the first day we started. We're doing it now. And not only that, it remains one of the most important and most enjoyable experiences, just to be doing that. But we can't get that understanding unless we are willing to reject the mind's, you know, demands that, you know, try something different. Do something new. Mind is chanchala. It's always going this way, that way, looking for something different, something new. Even in spiritual life. Yeah. But spiritual activities bring about newer and newer experiences. That's what's new. Although the process is simple, experiences are new. Experiences are wonderful. Not that we have to change to get a different experience. Yes? Yes.
Maharaj, out of 10 offenses against holy name, how to understand 7th offense is most severe in terms of comparing it with first and third? Like last
time. To understand that the 7th offense is more
severe than first and third.
Well, I don't know if it's understood that way. The first offense is hasti aparad. It's offending Vaishnavas, especially those who are glorifying the holy name. The 7th offense is something where it's a cheating mentality. The 7th offense is trying to cheat consciously. That I'm sinning and I have the means for overcoming the reactions of my sinful activities by chanting the holy name to neutralize. Therefore, this type of activity is simply a form of cheating, and has therefore the holy name cannot, you know, one cannot get the mercy of the holy name. There are many examples. When Prabhupada was preaching in Hawaii, one large group of devotees joined with one charismatic leader who came and became a disciple of Prabhupada and brought all his followers. And many of them got initiated. And then at one point he left Prabhupada and he was engaging in chanting, but they were taking mild forms of intoxication and still chanting and saying that this actually enhances chanting. So the devotees brought it to Prabhupada, And we're trying to give some, you know, credit to them, saying, well, Prabhupada rejected them. But the devotees are saying, well, they're still chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, no, their chanting is offensive. They're chanting on the strength of, you know, of the holy name. They're committing sins on the strength of the holy name. Therefore, their chanting is offensive, consciously. So in relationship to the third and first offense, when one commits Vaishnava aparad, you know, then one, that's also very serious. And to disobey the instructions of the spiritual, these are all very serious offenses. So one should carefully guard against all of them. Because if you're not following the instructions of the spiritual master, you're going to commit other offenses. So what's worse? What's more important? They're all somewhat interrelated. They're interrelated. There was another question? Yes. How much time do we have? You just let me know as long as I'll go as long as you want me to. It's time for prasad now? Time for prasad. Okay, so I must follow the rules and regulations. Okay, so thank you all very much and dive deeply and to the mood of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, associate with devotees and hear and chant the glories of the Lord more and more. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.